The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, a divided America is struggling to be one nation under God, indivisible.
It is unfortunate today that far too many believers are expecting the solutions to our problems to land on Air Force One.
I am convinced that God is not done with America and America is not done with God.
Join us as Dr. Tony Evans and Sammy Rodriguez challenge us to become one nation under God. Next.
It is a privilege to share life today with you because every day we are seeking to do just that around the world. And all of you who watch and pray, you're a part of it. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. I want to remind you now that we really need to be in prayer for God to give direction to our nation, wise direction. We need godly counsel. We need the wisdom of God. We need to make decisions based upon rock-solid, proven principles, consistent with biblical truth. I think many of you have read the book, Indivisible. It is a very important read. If you have not, and this is the thing I'm telling you, it's not too late to get it. Even go online and get it. You can get it in an e-book. We really touch on every area of concern. Now, here's what you need to know. The truths here really give us the direction we must go, even beyond any election. This is direction. Biblically sound, principled, historically proven truths that must be applied. And I'm encouraging you, if you haven't gotten the Christian Vote pen, you can go online and get it immediately. Betty and I are both wearing ours because we want Christians to vote. You know, this book, Betty, inspired a conference that we titled Under God, Indivisible. Our pastor, Robert Morris, actually launched that back at the very first of the year. And we brought together national leaders in one of the greatest conferences, 7,000 people impacted from all over America to understand that we need to be under God and we really need to stand together if we're going to see our future secure.
We do, James. And to me, as a housewife, a mother, a grandmother, I think what I can do is to be informed. I don't need to leave it up to someone else to say, well, you should vote for this person or you should vote for this. You vote for those that you are informed about and as much insight as God will give you on them, and then you vote from your heart.
Well, I want you to hear two very great preachers. In the Indivisible Under God Conference, or Under God Indivisible as it was titled, and you can go to lifetoday.com/UnderGodIndivisible, you can listen to all these speakers. From all the various different groups of faith committed people to freedom and to what makes this nation great, you're going to hear profound principle truth, but you're also going to witness a miracle. You're going to see people come together indivisible to be an answer to the prayer of Jesus, that we be one with the Father, sanctified in truth, not divided by truth, sanctified and purified in it, and perfected in unity, a supernatural unity. We desperately need it. You're two of the greatest preachers and greatest messages I've ever heard. These are brief messages. This is like dynamite. You're going to hear Dr. Tony Evans. Most of you know him. He has the Urban Alternative, which totally impacts the inner city. You know what he told me when he was with us? He said, you know, we get our mentors into the school to teach the children because they'd rather have a mentor, a godly mentor, than a metal detector. That should be in every city. I want you to listen to him talk about kingdom principles. And then Sammy Rodriguez. He would be what you might call in America the equivalent of a Protestant Pope in the sense of his impact. And that means that he is over 30,000 Hispanic churches. And he's going to tell you what the answer is for America. Here we've got two leaders of what is called the minority community, soon to be the majority community. But I want you to listen to what they say about how we decide our future. Tony Evans, followed by Sammy Rodriguez. Buckle your seatbelt.
There's a famous nursery rhyme that simply goes, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. and all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Mr. Dumpty's world had become shattered, and he needed it fixed. But he didn't go to his friends or his family or even his church. He went to the White House. Now, we know he went to the White House because the king got involved. The king was sympathetic to Mr. Dumpty's dilemma, so he called a meeting of Congress. We know Congress got involved because all the king's men got involved. When they came together, they decided to pass a Fix Mr. Dumpty law because they wanted sincerely to make Mr. Dumpty's world a better place to live. The tragedy of the nursery rhyme is when it was all said and done, all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. It is unfortunate today that far too many believers are expecting the solutions to our problems to land on Air Force One. They are expecting the transformation to come from our elected officials. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verses 3-6, puts it in proper perspective. It says, in those days, there was no true God, no teaching priest, and no law. And so as a result, it says, nation rose up against nation, city rose up against city, and there was no peace to him who came in or to him who went out. And then it concludes in verse 6 by saying, for God had troubled them with every kind of distress. Now, if God is your problem, only God is your solution. If God is your problem, then the first concern ought not be who's in the White House, but who's in our house. If God is your problem, if he is causing the distress, then the maximum amount of our time should not be spent on getting the right person in Washington. The bulk of our time needs to be spent in getting God back on our side. One of the great diseases of our day is AIDS. AIDS is a breakdown of the immune system. AIDS doesn't exactly kill you, it just sets you up for something else to do you in, whether it's pneumonia or cancer. Because the immune system is down, the bacteria and viruses are up and can bring destruction. God's immune system in the culture is the church. So if cultural colds are now societal pneumonia, it's because the immune system is down. And until the immune system of God, the church, is brought back up, the bacteria and viruses of destruction will continue to destabilize our country, ebb away our freedoms, and take away our liberty. When the question is raised, how should you vote? I'm taken to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua is doing reconnaissance around the walls of Jericho. And he's trying to figure out how to take down this enemy. He looks over and he sees the captain of another large army dressed in battle array. Now, Joshua's mama didn't raise a dummy. He wanted to know, whose side are you on? Because if you're on our side, then we've got help against Jericho. But if you're on their side, we've got double trouble. So before I go out here and make a fool of myself, whose side are you on? That's when the captain says to him, I think you are confused. I'm neither on your side, nor am I on their side. I'm captain of the Lord's army. I did not come to take sides. I come to take over. You and I have to understand is God does not ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. That if you're a Democrat, the best you can do is vote Democrat light, L-I-T-E, or Republican light, L-I-T-E, because your job is to bring to either one the L-I-G-H-T. Your job is to represent another king and another kingdom. Last year, I served as chaplain of the Cowboys, and when the Cowboys play, or any football team plays, three teams take the field. There's the home team, there's the visiting team, and they'll never get along because one is going this way, the other is going that way, and they are built to resist one another, and there is nothing you can do to put them on the same page. But then there is this third team. It's called the team of officials. This third team of officials, they're on the field, but they're not of the field. They're in the middle of the chaos, but they don't belong to the chaos because they belong to another kingdom called the NFL. They belong to another arena. Their job is not to listen to the roar of the crowd, be they boos or cheers, or to the fractions that are against each other, because they've been handed a book. And every decision they make on the field is to be reflective of the book that's been handed from the kingdom that they are to represent. You and I belong to another kingdom. Let's represent the king.
Now, friends, we live in difficult times. These are times of great uncertainty, angst, consternation, and flux. The obituary of American Christianity in the 21st century already permeates both church and society. Scholars and leaders from within and outside the church have arrived to the inevitable conclusion that Christianity in America will not survive the 21st century in any viable or sustainable manner. I beg to differ. For even though housing markets may crumble, the stock market may plummet, banks are failing, and institutions that make chicken are being protested and boycotted, there is one institution that is still alive. The Church of Jesus Christ is still alive and well. For that matter, I believe the 21st century stands poised to experience the greatest transformative Christian movement in our history. This movement will affirm biblical orthodoxy. It will reform the culture. It will transform our political discourse and usher in a new awakening. I am convinced that God is not done with America, and America is not done with God. For at the end of the day, this will not be a political movement driven by expediency and agendas of man, by a prophetic movement driven by the impetus of the cross. What is the agenda of this new movement? It is not the agenda of the donkey or the agenda of the elephant. This nation will be saved exclusively via the agenda of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb. The agenda of the Lamb is spirit-driven. Let me hurry here. Forget Harry Potter and Hogwarts. There are very, very real spirits in the world today. Via biblical allusions and biblical metaphorical applications, the spirit of Pharaoh is still alive, holding people in the Egypt of bondage and fear. The spirit of Goliath still lives, mocking and intimidating the children of God. The spirit of Jezebel still makes men and women hide in caves with sexual perversion and manipulation. The spirit of Absalom is dividing homes, churches, relationships, while the spirit of Herod is killing the young through abortion, poverty, sex trafficking, murdering different dreams and visions. I have news for you today and for this nation. There is still a spirit more powerful than all these spirits combined. And a matter of fact, we are here today to declare not only to Dallas and Texas, but all of America, that the most powerful spirit alive today in our nation is not the spirit of Pharaoh, the spirit of Saul, Absalom, Goliath, Jezebel, or Herod. The most powerful spirit still is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He is still moving in this nation. He's still moving on this land. He's still moving across our nation. From California to New York, the Spirit of God is still moving. For it is not by might and nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So to every narrative and spirit that facilitates the platform of moral relativism, of spiritual apathy, of cultural decadence, and ecclesiastical lukewarmness, we say the following. For every Pharaoh, there must be a Moses. For every Goliath, there must be a David. For every Nebuchadnezzar, there must be a Daniel. For every Jezebel, there must be an Elijah. For every Herod, there must be a Jesus. And for every devil that rises up against us, there is a mightier God that will rise up for us. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb's agenda activates a kingdom culture firewall of righteousness and justice. In other words, in order to defend life and protect liberty and facilitate the platform by which all Americans can pursue happiness, we must apply biblical optics and apply corrective lenses to both spiritual and cultural myopia. In other words, when I wake up in the morning, I don't see a Hispanic, Black, White, or Asian, charismatic, or automatic. I am first and foremost a child of the living God. I am a born-again Christian. I am a child of God. I am a follower of Jesus. I am a Christian first and foremost. I am a believer. And my vertical identity empowers my horizontal reality. And when we vote, we must vote our vertical values. We can't be pro-life on Sunday and vote pro-abortion on Tuesday. I finish with this. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. There are some prophet liars who once declared that we wouldn't even be here right now. Vladimir Lenin in 1917 in St. Petersburg Square declared that by the 21st century, the whole world would be communist, there wouldn't be a Christian alive. In 1939, Nuremberg, Germany, Adolf Hitler declared the Third Reich will outlast the Church of Jesus Christ. In the 1960s, the Beatles said that by the 21st century, they would receive more adoration than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost combined. Well, guess what? We're in 2012. Lenin is dead, Hitler is gone, the Beatles are gone, but the Church of Jesus is still alive and well.
Oh, boy. Yes, it is. And I want to tell you something. It is time, Betty, for people to literally, as believers, get out of the closet. Get out of the darkness. Crawl out from under the pew. Take a stand. Be the city set on a hill that cannot, will not, and must not be hidden. And, Betty, the only way we can be a city set on a hill is that we stand together for truth.
Absolutely, James, and wake up from their slumber. You know, you have to be the one that makes the difference in our world, in our country today. You can't just be passive and let it pass you by and then complain about what has taken place. You have to be a part of it.
And you just remember what Dr. Evans said. Hope doesn't arrive on Air Force One. It doesn't rest on the shoulders of any political leader. It doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. It rides on the rock-solid principles of God's truth. Now, I'm just going to tell you, and I want to say it as personally as I can, we are about to lose our freedom. It's been recently said in America, because of all the expectations and all of the entitlement and all of the programs proven to fail and unsustainable, the everything is free except us. We're going to lose our freedom if we don't take a stand. And we have got to understand that we must depend upon God, not any form of Pharaoh or dictator or king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then we have to understand that we are our brother's keeper. We do love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And you'll never love anyone properly if you don't first love God. If you love this country, if you care about the future, pray, vote, vote principles. Vote consistent with Scripture. And by the way, we can correct our nation's perilous course. We can get our leaders back on track. And we can see the blessings of the Lord on the nation so we can continue to be a blessing to the nations. That's God's dreams. That's the dream of the Father for every one of us in His family. Right now, we're doing something that is very, very special. We are literally together, and I know you love this. We're about to put God's arms of love around a crushed, broken world. We're not going to try something to see if it works. We're going to do something we absolutely know works and gives people hope and a new life and a new future. And we do it together. I want you to look. I want you to see the difference love makes. Well, I hope you saw the, I hope you saw clearly the images. Betty, we saw cans, most of them over the years, for 25 years in areas where we had not yet been to get the heat-resistant bowls that you, the viewer, literally insisted that we make it a part of the program because you didn't want to see them burn their hands. Many times the containers would be far worse than this. This would have actually been a pretty nice container. And when you see the difference in the bowl that says love and the food in it, or the child that's starving and barely able to breathe or even gasp for life, and then you see life, and to know this, that once we stabilize and get them on their feet, we then begin to show them how to grow their own crops. Betty, we've literally seen children starving, families starving, where we taught them to farm to bring back the Portuguese farms in many areas that had been abandoned years ago, bring them back into productivity, and the people that were starving began to feed thousands of other people with what they did. So we break the cycle of death, and this is what love does. This is what programs that work do. And our viewers have always enjoyed helping us do it.
Absolutely. And you are the difference. You make the difference. Please join with us for 30, 50, or 100, or even more, whatever you can do. Ask God what He would have you to do, and please help us.
And you know, those numbers are so simple and yet so profound. When you think about a $30 gift feeding three children for the next month, 50 will feed five. Many of you have a large family. If you go out to eat in a public place, you're going to pay that for one meal. We're talking about feeding five children for months, $100. And I really do oftentimes, and I don't apologize for this. I will say as directly to you as I can, if there's any way that you can help us care for 10 children, make the $100 gift. It is a gift that just keeps giving day after day. We will take children that are very near death. We'll take children that are terribly malnourished. We will stabilize their diet. As soon as things are stabilized, we then put those feeding programs into schools to jump the attendance 70%, especially among girls. And it is amazing what happens. So we're really putting something in process that starts by saving children that are dying, stabilizing those that are malnourished, and giving them a very definite future. Would you dial the number there? Would you join in what we have been doing that has saved millions and millions of lives and given millions of people a future? Would you do it by saying, okay, James, I can help 10. Here's my $100 gift. I can help five. Here's 50. Here's 30 to help three. Take your bank card, use it like a check. Please dial the number or go to lifetoday.org and say, you know what? I'm going to give the best gift I can. If you would give extra money and help us give some bowls, here's what we're asking you to do. And by the way, I'm sending the book that this has been requested for so long because I've told the stories of what we've learned from our little dachshund princes, the spiritual lessons from God through a pet. And I'm telling you, people have leaped at this. We're sending it for any gift to say thank you, but we're sending it to those of you who will help us feed 10 children and give some bowls. The beautiful Sarah Young, Jesus Calling Bible with those devotionals. Absolutely fabulous. Please help us care for 10 children. We've got the Lion and the Lamb bronze that we're sending for those of you who can give a $1,000 gift. Father, I pray every person watching would just do what they can to help us save lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for making the call. Thank you for making the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we would like to send you James Robison's newest book, The God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
Betty and I want to say thank you so much for your help, and you do want this book. I can't look at that little dachshund that's blessed us so much. You know, when you're empty nesters and your grandkids are growing up, pets really get big, but God gets real big when you see Him in them and all God's creation. The God of all creation, we're saying thanks for whatever gift you make to help us give the gift of life. Remember, pray, vote wisely, vote prayerfully, vote principle. Thanks for watching.
I wish I could sit in your den across your coffee table and we could just like lean in and say, what are you begging for?
Begging for something? Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.